Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. Since the start of the new year, four homeless people have died of hypothermia in Portland during a spate of bitter cold weather. While no homeless persons have perished from similar conditions on the coast, an estimated 700 residents in Clatsop County and 400 in Tillamook County struggle daily to stay warm and dry. My three guests today will shed light on challenges the homeless face on the coast and discuss what services are available to them. Alan Evans is the co-founder and executive director of Helping Hands Reentry in Seaside. Elaine Bruce is the executive director of Clatsop Community Action in Astoria. And Brian Mahoney is a volunteer and board member at the Astoria Warming Center. Welcome to the studio, Alan, Elaine, and Brian.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
I just wanted to mention before we actually begin the discussion that the show was pre-recorded on Wednesday. So to start, I'd like to get a sense of the scope of homelessness in both Clatsop and Tillamook counties. Would you like to start, Alan?
Well, I think there's different classifications for homelessness. We have low-barrier homeless. We have people struggling to get apartments and get houses, falling out of the system. We serve as an emergency shelter in Clatsop County. So for most of the time, if a person's looking for a resource of emergency shelter, they're sent to our facility. And we partner with all the partnering agencies in the county. Tillamook County, we're new. We purchased a Naval Command Center there. And we provide emergency shelter now there as well on a referral basis from all the agencies. So we've been open since March of 2016 over there. And we've served over 240 unique individuals in a nine-month period of time.
And your shelter is in Seaside, is that right?
Yeah, we have an emergency shelter and we have multiple homes, longer-term reentry homes. So okay. We provide emergency shelter and then we offer services beyond that and longer-term reentry homes. So okay. We have about 60 beds in Clatsop County.
And explain what you mean by low barrier.
Low barrier, I was a low barrier homeless person. So I'm a recovering addict. I lived on the streets for just about 25 years. And I had addiction issues, mental health issues. What people were offering in homeless shelters all over the United States. I've been from Pensacola, Florida, to Seattle, Washington, in and out of systems, prison, and all of that. I wasn't capable of following rules because I lived a lifestyle that would not allow me to do that. So, and that's what I mean by low barrier is we've got a population of people in our county that we could offer services to for free, but they wouldn't be capable of keeping those.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Elaine or Brian, would you like to add to that at all?
Yes, thank you, Joan. Clatsop Community Action has been serving the homeless and low-income poverty level since 1984. We serve all residents throughout Clatsop County. Our services are, I think, compared to Alan's shelter services and Brian's Warming Center, we're kind of the next step in a continuum of care in that we offer 11 different housing programs for based upon different types of eligibility with requirements by either the state or federal government or private funding. So we work with both Brian and Alan on a continuum, and if they need immediate assistance, we certainly don't have available housing or their paperwork completed for eligibility, so we can send them to either the Warming Center or to Helping Hands, and then we continue on with those individuals or families to get them to where they're not homeless.
Okay. What are some common misconceptions the general public has about the homeless?
I would like to speak for the Astoria Warming Center, and we are also a low-barrier facility. we serve about 25 or 30 guests every night, and this is our third season. And what I've noticed is that there are people who might have jobs, might have vehicles, that have maybe a temporary need and are actually looking for a way back into housing, into permanent housing, or a way to support themselves a little bit better. And so this is really more of a temporary stop. And then there are some folks that are really long-term and chronic and will probably not be off the streets for a while.
And why is that?
Well, I probably speak to that because I was in that realm for quite some time. What we've recognized and what I recognize about myself is everybody has a story. Everybody does. And people come with severe wounds, and it causes a lot of problems. I'm 15 years sober, and I've been doing what I've been doing for 15 years, but the wreckage of my past and what my lifestyle was before still has a bearing on my life today. I still am weighted by overdue medical bills and some of the stuff that comes with that. People face a lot of obstacles to reenter society. It's more than just housing. Housing is extremely important, but to sustain any sort of housing, any way, there's a lot of obstacles to overcome. And so I think sometimes for me, the way that I was feeling on the inside and the stuff that was going on with me and the way that people seen my problems were two different things. And it was really difficult because for a long time I never felt heard. From warming shelters to longer-term shelters to soup kitchens, what was going on the inside and what people thought I needed were two different things. And so I think homeless people all carry a story, and everybody's obstacles are different, every single person. So I think that's the misconception sometimes. We drive down the street and we think people are bad people when people are broken, and we don't view it that way. Society doesn't see our homeless population that way sometimes. A lot of them do, but a lot of them don't.
Okay. And I know there are many different factors that lead to homelessness. Elaine?
That is correct. And I appreciate what Alan says, that everybody certainly comes to us with a completely different story. We often see individuals and families that are homeless as a result of a sudden medical issue, a job loss. They may be fleeing a domestic violence situation. Everybody has a complete set of factors that may spiral them down into a state of homelessness. Very good people can become homeless. We see people with master's degrees that working full-time job and the next year they become homeless just by a certain set of situations that cause it.
It's no secret that we have a housing crunch in both Tillamook and Clatsop counties. Has that been a factor at all in homelessness lately?
It has a lot to do with placement. So more people are falling out of the system and less access to housing is what's happening. We've got facilities that have four or five people with vouchers for housing, for their housing to be paid for, and they cannot find it. So I believe it's a huge factor. So we have several people that have been in a program for quite some time, ready to move on with no place to go.
I agree with that. Our case managers who work with housing, while they're working with an individual or a family to remove barriers, such as it could be something like a lack of an ID, a driver's license, a lack of a job. Maybe they have had a poor rental history. We try to work with them and remove those barriers one at a time. At the same time, we're looking for available housing. So those two must work parallel, and hopefully they culminate, and then we can offer a family and offer a landlord a good tenant with a cleaned up history.
Okay. One of the common misconceptions, or many people feel it's not a misconception, is that some of the homeless choose to be that way. So how would you respond to that?
I I'll offer that. I think that there are a very, very small number of people who do choose to be homeless as more of a lifestyle. They may just prefer the freedom of not having rules or you know, structured payments or jobs. But that's, I think, by far the minority. I think most people appreciate to have a roof over their heads and a base for them to be able to do a job search and to, you know, shelter their family.
Okay. This time of year, do you see a spike in the number of people seeking out your services, particularly the warming center and other shelters?
Well, we do. So we've got a pretty average number through our warmer months. When we reach freezing temperatures or severe weather, our numbers spike by about 25%. So and it's people that we double as both. So we provide emergency shelter the way we always do it, and then when there's cold weather, we are also a severe weather center. So we allow people to come in that may have been trespassed from our property or that have used up their stay in our facility. We allow them to come back for the warm nights, okay. The cold nights, excuse me.
The Astoria Warming Center is open between a seasonal start date and a seasonal end date. So we are not open, available year-round for to come out of the weather. So from mid-November through what's planned to be mid-March are the dates that we're open. Last year and the first year, we were only open when it was dropping down below, say, around 40 degrees or so. But right now it's open every night. I mean, we're not weather forecasters, but it turns out that this is a pretty cold, miserable winter. And it's been very, I think, useful for a lot of people to be available here in Astoria for those nights. During the off-season, the Astoria Warming Center in the basement of the Methodist Church, United Methodist Church at 11th and Franklin in Astoria, also makes available a shower and laundry facilities, which really helps a lot of folks out because they want to get cleaned up. They might have a job interview. They want to even change out old clothes. We provide replacement clothing and shoes and those types of things, blankets and jackets and whatnot. So there's a lot of reasons that we stay open, even if it's not seasonal.
Okay, so there's no temperature stipulation for
not
the period that you're open. Okay. And that's a good transition into talking about the services that are available for the homeless community in both counties, Clatsop and Tillamook. So Elaine, maybe you could start by explaining what services your agency, Clatsop Community Action, provides.
In addition to the housing case management programs that we offer energy assistance programs. And because the housing shortage is so high, the rents are higher. Therefore, if we can assist them with energy assistance, heating and cooling bills, that alone sometimes can help offset the high cost that they're paying for rent. Often 50, 60% of their income goes towards rent.
So that might prevent them from becoming homeless?
Exactly. We also offer a regional food bank distribution center that supplies to over 40 meal sites and pantries throughout Clatsop County. Often that's a real benefit for those that are paying so much for rent, or those who are homeless can visit the pantries or meal sites. We work with Allen's Helping Hands program, and we've been talking to the Warming Center about the possibility of providing food to them. We also offer what we call a personal care pantry at the Astoria office of CCA, in that people who are homeless on the streets or precariously housed, if they need toiletries, shampoo, diapers is a very common request that people who are homeless or very near to homeless need these items in order to just maintain their, you know, hygiene and their family. So that's something that we offer. The other thing that I think is important that we offer is that we do a lot of information and referral services to all the nonprofit and state funding sourced services throughout Clatsop County. So if somebody doesn't know where to go for something, if they don't know about Helping Hands or the Warming Center or how to access, say, food stamps, we can work with them and make sure that they have the information that they have. We have applications. We have applications for the housing authority. We can help them out pretty much anything. So if anybody doesn't know where to go, and often it's a real sea of services that they're not aware of, we can make sure that they are made aware of those.
And where is your office?
The CCA office is on 9th and Duane. It's 364 9th Street is the address.
Okay, so that's if they wanted to stop by and get some answers or some help, that's where they would go.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned something that kind of piqued my curiosity, that some families need diapers. So some families are homeless, in other words. Do you have a sense of what percentage of the homeless population are families?
I would say at least 70% off the top. There are more families that are homeless.
Okay. Alan, is that true for your agency as well?
That is. I think that most people have some sort of connection with a family unit. More and more people today than ever before are families needing help. So the face of homelessness in the last 10 years has completely changed. It used to be 95% corrections and the addicted and the people like myself that was homeless. That's changed down to 20%, which is an unbelievable change. I mean, almost a 70% change in the last 10 years from the people that needed help before.
Why is that?
Because more and more people are finding it hard to stay afloat. You know, a lot of good people are one paycheck away from losing everything. And when there's increases in rents and there's increases in these things, and families with low family income can't survive anymore.
Okay. If you're just joining me, you're listening to a discussion pre-recorded on Wednesday about homelessness on the North Coast. This is Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. The focus of today's show, which was pre-recorded on Wednesday, is homelessness on the North Coast. My guests are Alan Evans, the co-founder and executive director of Helping Hands Reentry in Seaside, Elaine Bruce, the executive director of Clatsop Community Action in Astoria, and Brian Mahoney, a longtime volunteer at the Warming Center. I wanted to get back to talking about what services your organizations offer. And Elaine, you were talking about some of the services provided by Clatsop Community Action. Alan, why don't you explain what some of the services Helping Hands offers?
Well, coming into our program, we provide emergency shelter and we provide long-term reentry, along with case management.
Explain what you mean by long-term reentry.
So when a person comes into our emergency shelter, they stay there for a few days, and we offer them longer-term group housing. So we have multiple bed spaces in multiple facilities. We have women's housing, we have men's housing, and we have family housing. So we offer longer-term reentry housing. So we do an evaluation of a person's needs when they walk in our door. We get their name, their information, their basic stuff. We say, would you like longer-term help? Doesn't cost you a penny. Would you be interested in that? And we give them a few days to make that decision if they're willing to take a year analysis to move forward. And then we do an evaluation of the obstacles they face to reenter society. And then we set reentry plans up for them. And we work with all of our partnering agencies. We work very, very close with CCA and what they have to offer. We get them signed up. We get them signed up for NOAA vouchers. We get them health insurance right off the bat. And then they meet with a case manager and talk about the slow obstacles from identification to job placement. We work really close with Seaside Temps in both Astoria and in Seaside. As a matter of fact, our district office is in their building. So we get them the basic stuff that they need. And then we look at if they have addiction issues, if they have, you know, if they have children, parenting classes, if they have mental health issues. We try to get them hooked up with local mental health providers and set longer term plans up. But I think the key to all of us is we attempt to work with everybody in Clatsop County. Collaboration's the key as we do this, and knowing what we're talking about. Data is extremely important. Elaine was right. The more we know, and the more we know the stories, the better we can serve them.
Sure. And Brian, why don't you just recap what the Warming Center offers?
Yeah, so the Warming Center doesn't have case managers. It's all volunteers, with the exception of a few part-time paid people. We open in the morning, we open in the evening. People come in and—
At 8 o'clock?
8 p.m. And people will come in. If they've been there before, we kind of already have their stories. If we haven't seen them before, we just ask them a few basic questions. How long have you been homeless? A couple things like that. And we try and keep that and document it. Then for other services, we feed them a meal before we put them into their cots. They go make up their own beds. They have space for it. We get them up in the morning if they wanted to have a shower, if they wanted to have their laundry done. They might have been able to do that through the night. Some of the volunteers are able to do that for them. And in the morning, we give them a little bit of something to eat and some coffee and get them off on the road. Otherwise, we just make referrals. So we do work with Elaine for the CCA services. We have connections at the Coastal Family Health Center so that we try and refer folks over so they can get signed up for health insurance and any other type of services that somebody might want. We'll see if we can actually make a referral, but we don't have caseworkers. We just have referral applications and phone numbers and names to give out, basically.
How would each of you respond to the charge that providing such services enables this lifestyle?
I can respond to that. All of our housing programs and energy assistance involve working with the individual client with the common goal of permanent self-sufficiency. However that's defined, whether they need to be on long-term disability, if they need long-term VA, funded permanent housing. Often we will what we call wrap around other services to make that happen. They may have some educational challenges. They may need to enter like a job placement and training program. They may need parenting classes. They may need mental health services to keep them stable so that they can be able to work on a full or part-time job. We do a very comprehensive assessment when they come into our programs, and then we put together an individual plan for each person or their family with the goal of long-term self-sufficiency.
Wow. Wow.
So I understand the question. When I was in Pensacola, Florida, there was a guy who said, if you feed the bears have a hard time adjusting back into the wild.
Exactly.
And so the concept of that is there's some truth to it because there was some freedom there for me. I mean, homelessness was freedom. I had no rules to follow. I could pretty much do everything I want. When in the warmer climate, it was pretty good. The truth is that there's a small population of people, you know, less than 4%. The visual population of our homeless is a fraction of the homeless. It truly is. So that comment makes sense to a small population of people. But for the rest, I think it's about a hand up, not a handout. And so I think that it's a little askew. But I understand where you're coming from. So do I agree with it? In certain cases, I do. And that's why we set strong boundaries. We used to let anybody come in and stay. And once we started pulling the data and looking at that, we changed up just a little bit because it was important for us not to just allow a person a free place to stay and free meals all the time after an extended period of time. So we changed that. In cold climate, it's extremely important to have something there so people do not die. And so
as we've seen in Portland.
That's the way out. Correct.
Well, and that raises another question. Where do these people go during the daytime when, say, the warming center is closed or the shelter is closed? How are they staying warm, in other words, or are they?
They are. And I think that if we look at the bigger picture, we've never really had any major issues in our county. We truly haven't. I was a very durable homeless guy, you know. There's a couple times in my life where I came pretty close to being afraid to fall asleep because I was afraid to freeze to death. But, you know, we're pretty versatile. And the people who are living on the streets survive very well here. And there's lots of things to do. There's libraries. You know, there's lots of places for people to go during the day.
But they don't open at 8 a.m. I'm just thinking the folks who died in Portland certainly were not.
Well, it's difficult over there, and they've got a big chunk. I mean, they've got a big thing to overcome in Portland. They do. They got a lot of homeless people and very little services. We're a very fortunate county. We are. We have an amazing place here. Nobody is turned away.
So our services are that much deeper on the coast?
I think we're more equipped here. Than we are, because our population in our county is a lot smaller, and the services we have here, we all communicate together, which is really important that we're talking all the time and we know who's where and how and why. So
I agree with that. And I've lived in different locales, but what I found about Clatsop County is that all of the services, all the nonprofits and agencies work together extremely well. There's no semblance of territorialism. I think we all have a good relationship, and we cross-refer and utilize all our services for everybody.
Okay. Before we run out of time, Elaine, I wanted you to talk just a bit about the Project Homeless Connect event coming up.
Yes. Thank you, Joan. This is, I believe, our seventh year that we'll have assisted with the facilitation of this great event. It's January 31st, and it's going to be held at the Seaside Convention Center. It's a once-a-year opportunity for over 45 agencies to come together and offer all of our services to anybody who is homeless, completely self-refer. The Sunset Empire bus service is free that day so that people in Napa, Astoria can get to the Seaside Convention Center, those from Cannon Beach. It's a wonderful opportunity for people to meet all the network of community partners that are going to be there. They can get their eyes checked. They can visit Alan Evans and his team. They can talk to Brian at the Warming Center. They can talk to the bus service. They can talk to Department of Human Services. They can get a free haircut. It's a lot of upbeat and very positive things happening for those.
That's great. So that's at the Seaside Convention Center.
Yes, and it also ties in with the what is called a point-in-time count. Point-in-time count is held in, traditionally by design on one of the darkest, coldest days of the winter in order to attract people to get an accurate count
of the homeless.
Of how many of those are homeless. And then we collect that data at that event and turn it into the state of Oregon. They in turn unite it with all the other counties, and then they send it to the federal government. So it's used on many levels in order for us to receive funding throughout Clatsop County.
Okay, great.
That's where you get your number from. When you look it up, that's where that number comes from.
All right, thank you. Well, unfortunately, that is all we have time for today. But I want to thank my guests for shedding light on homelessness on the coast and also discussing what services are available for this vulnerable population. Alan Evans is the co-founder and executive director of Helping Hands Reentry in Seaside. Elaine Bruce is the director of Clatsop Community Action in Astoria. And Brian Mahoney is a volunteer and board member at the Astoria Warming Center. This show was pre-recorded on Wednesday. Perspectives is heard every other week on the stations of Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM. I'm Joan Herman. I hope you can join me in 2 weeks for another edition of Perspectives. Thanks for listening.